Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Foodomania. This is Sue Arroyo. I have to say that I played our theme song all the way through today because I got a couple of different emails during the course of the week saying, how come you always cut your song off and you like it? And so that goes out to some of the people that wrote in that were really excited about the song, and I appreciate that. That's a cover version of the Beatles, of course, Anytime and All of Myself, and have Rhonda E. featured on some of the vocals there, but that's basically me playing all the instruments and having fun with Beatle music, which I love to do. All right, today is a fun show. Today is the Unfleet Show. And let me tell you about this. Several years ago, I was teaching some classes to kids to cook. And, you know, of course, I started the class series and said, what do you guys like to eat? And everything that came up was things that I used to love to eat, from Hostess Twinkies to French fries to cheeseburgers to all kinds of stuff like that, which generally speaking is considered junk food. Now, you know, I thought, okay, rather than to do something to the kids that most grown-ups do and lecture them as to, oh, it's all junk food and blah, you know, I always encourage my kids to enjoy food and to experiment and to play with different things. So I always try to create similar things that we have on a junk food basis in a healthy way. And when I did some research, I learned that, you know, the true story about junk food is that there's only certain aspects in the junk food that actually make it considered junk. Now, let's break that down a little bit. Preservatives, certain chemicals, certain things that you just can't even say, let alone spell, or know what they mean. When you look at a package of Twinkies, for instance, you're going to check the ingredient list on that. And I want you to, if you ever are in a store and have a couple of minutes and see a pack of that, just go ahead and look at all the things that comprise this little golden cake with cream in it that has been a controversial cake forever. Remember, the main defense, the Twinkie defense in the assassination, in the sad loss of Harvey Milk and Mayor Moscone in San Francisco way back in the 70s was, and Dan White, the fellow that unfortunately took their lives, blames it on a pack of Twinkies that he had eaten earlier in the day. So basically speaking, there is some component in certain foods that make it junk, okay? And hot dogs would have nitrates in it and food coloring and items like that. Certain hamburgers would have a certain amount of chemicals or fat content or things that are not good. Certain breads with pure white flour and preservatives to keep that flour white, or bleach that would be used in certain aspects. So therefore, in a lot of cases, you're going to talk about things that you consider junk food. But for the most part, it's an institution that happens, which is called growing up and eating foods. And I know people that, really don't pay attention to anything that their kids eat. I know people who are over the top as far as paying attention. So therefore, from the day they can even, put anything in their mouth besides formula, in this case, breast milk, you're not even going to be able to, to get anything by these kids. And these kids, and how I learned a lot of stuff is not only being a dad, but being a chef for so many years in institutional cooking, like schools and colleges and, colleges or schools, things like that, and learning about kids. And I remember kids coming in, freshmen from the Midwest or some other place, and they come through the line, and we have all these really nice choices, but they always, every day, go to the same thing, hamburgers or french fries or things, because this is how they were brought up, this is what they know, and they didn't have a real adventurous, food consumption aspect in their life. So the whole concept of unfood for me came about where I was trying to create things that my kids would like, in some cases, and that they would eat, but they would still feel like they were eating similar things to what their friends might be eating or what you get at a drive-in or something like that. Now, did this work? No, not all the time. Sometimes it did. Sometimes it was a ton of work to imitate a specific thing, and they just didn't like it in the long run anyway. So as I culled these recipes and I made them a little bit better, it was definitely easier and more fun to be able to, to make things that were that way. As we become adults and we get into this organic world of food, over the last 15 to 20 years, more and more people are just, so anti anything that might be considered junk food. So therefore, you're not going to get a good old hot dog. You're going to end up getting a, tofu dog or something like that, or you're not going to get one at all. And so what I thought would be a real interesting topic of today is the Empton Show. So in other words, I'm going to give you some healthy recipes to make junk food, basically. And remember, junk food is only called junk food because there are certain components in the food that are junk, that are not really healthy, not good for you. Yes, they pass the inspections of the food administration people who absolutely make sure that things are safe to eat. But generally speaking, in a real true sense, in the long run, it's not the best choices to make, So therefore, you have to come up with some alternatives, especially these days, because we're in such a fast-paced world, we're multitasking. So people are not only on their iPads and computers while they're eating, but they're also making a phone call and texting at the same time. So therefore, they don't even know what they're eating half the time. Kids basically are famished by the time they get to mid-morning when they go to school early. So they're scarfing down anything that they can get their fingers on pretty quickly and not really paying any attention. Oh, I think I'll just have a salad today instead of that piece of pizza, Now, there are certain things that, even the big food organizations and chains have taken, real serious look at this. And they tried to paint their food and their things that they sell in their products in a different light. And so therefore people will eat this stuff and still continue to believe that most of it is healthy for you. Now, it doesn't always really work because, unfortunately, in the long run, we get instant satisfaction sometimes from eating something quickly and fast, but we usually pay the price a half hour later or an hour later when our bodies start assimilating and saying, what did you do to me again, please? Now, soda, big, big thing. Now, most people don't realize that the thing about soda that people love more than anything are the bubbles. And you take a sip of that soda and you get that little bubbly thing happening in your throat. And basically what you're saying is, oh, my gosh, I got to have more of that. Now, the sweetness only enhances it. So we're going to talk about some healthy sodas today also and ways to make drinks that are going to be still have that bubble content. A good friend of mine said, Sora, I was drinking about six cans of Coke or something similar to that a day. And I said, oh, well, that's not so bad. At one point in time, I was drinking 12, you know, because it's a thirst quencher. When you're a chef in a kitchen, you are absolutely, you know, being dehydrated on a constant basis. So you're drinking. And the old days, I used to just have the front of the house people fill up these really tall glasses with, you know, all the Coca-Cola you can drink. And trust me, it was not really helping in the long run. And especially as we get to a certain point of our metabolism, those six Cokes a day are going to put, you know, several pounds that you just don't need to be carrying around. So how do you deal with that? Well, let's start with the basics of the drink, and this is the Unc Food Soda. In most cases, you're going to have a bubbly, clear soda water. Now, this is an important thing, too. There are different kinds of soda water. Some of it's called seltzer. Some of it's called club soda, soda water. You need to look at the labels, and you need to find the stuff that's the purest. In some cases, believe it or not, there's a lot of stuff in that clear, bubbly liquid that is stuff that we don't want to have in our system. I also prefer to try to omit the cans as much as possible and go to bottles whenever possible. So here's a great thing. You take some fresh pineapple, and when you cut it open, clear it out really good. Try to remove all the little eyes in it, and so you're getting just the pure fruit. And pick out a sweet one. The best way to do that is when you pull one of the feathers or one of the tops of it, it should come right out. When it comes right out, even just put it up to your nose for a second, and you're going to smell pineapple. There, cut that pineapple up really good, clean it really well. Save all the juice when you're doing this. So what I do is when I'm cleaning it, I try to do it on a cutting board, possibly over a big bowl. And then at the end of the process, I'm still spraying all the leftover stuff and trying to get every bit of juice out. What you're going to do is take some of the fresh pineapple and juice, put it in the blender for just a couple of seconds to get it nice and pulverized, and you're going to get this sort of pineapple soup. It's kind of like the kind you can buy in a can, but when you do it with a fresh ripe pineapple, it's nothing better. I take about a half of a glass full of it. I take the crushed pineapple and juice into a glass, and then I pour some soda water over the top, and I have this amazing pineapple soda. Now, in a lot of cases, a straw is not going to work because the pulp's going to get stuck in it unless you get a large straw. But trust me, you take it, give it a little bit of stir, just the natural sugar from the juice, and the pineapple is one of the most refreshing drinks, and it's a pineapple soda, basically. Now, you can do this with a lot of different fruits and do the same thing. You can do it with strawberries. You can do it with blueberries and make these homemade sodas. Now, are the kids going to like them? Most kids don't even get a chance to get soda if you're running a household where you're just sort of trying to keep the soda in check. This is actually going to end up being an incredible treat for kids. So there you go. You have a couple of different kinds of soda that you've just made from a bubbly soda, you know, water and some fresh fruit. It's phenomenal. Now, we've talked a lot about Twinkies, so let's talk about that for a minute. Basically, a sponge cake with some really nice cream and frosting in it. And it's one of those things where, you know, the Twinkies actually came out in the 30s. I think they've gotten probably worse for you, you know, as they've, you know, immediately, you know, developed this thing in the beginning, like any food products. They had a very limited shelf life. Now, did you know that a Twinkie these days could be on the shelf for up to 6 months? This is the truth. So you can imagine the things that might be inside them. Now, when you think about a favorite snack in the old days, I'm not sure how many people are doing it, but when it was first brought out, the Twinkie actually had banana cream filling in it. It was not the just standard white filling. It was switched to vanilla because of a banana shortage, believe it or not, during World War II. I mean, can you believe it? And it's so funny. But in 2007, you know, which is interesting, about 5 or 6 years ago, they came out with sort of a historic Twinkie release, and they re-released Twinkies again with banana cream filling, and they have banana cream filled Twinkies. They're really, really hard to find. But does it give you some sort of an idea when I said that? Okay, maybe it did. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to make a really simple banana pudding, and here's some of the things you need. So you get 1.5 cups of flour, 1.5 teaspoons of baking powder, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, about 5 teaspoons of unsalted butter, 1/2 cup of water, 3 large organic eggs, and 1 cup, you know, of egg. Those eggs should equal about 1 cup of egg, basically. 2 tablespoons of sugar, just 2, okay? And you don't have to use sugar. I would use honey, or I would use some natural, sort of sweetener. Basically, the butter needs to be sort of unsoftened, and you want to get a little bit of powdered sugar. But I'm going to cut this down to maybe 1 teaspoon of powdered sugar. Now, as far as milk, I get like a sort of a baking spray, the cleanest stuff you can get, like a pan is okay. But you want to do some different products now that have a little bit less junk in it. All right. Now, we're going to use a small mixing bowl and possibly an electric mixer. And if you have a little rack, a little wire rack for cooling, that'd be great. So here's basically how you're going to make the Twinkie. You're going to heat your oven, get it up to 350 degrees, and then spray the nonstick spray into a little baking pan. Now, look, here's the thing. This is funny. How do I make it look like a Twinkie? Okay, there's a couple of different ways. Now, what I've done, simply enough, is I've scoured some of the thrift stores, and occasionally I'm going to find little baking dishes that kind of resemble that shape. Sometimes they're called hot dog cookers, and they're little Teflon-coated little deals that look sort of like the shape of a Twinkie. But I took them one step further. What I did is I took a real Twinkie, and I took some tinfoil, and I just made a mold. And that's how I want you to do it. Assume that it's about 4 inches long, roughly, about 1.5 inches wide, 1.5 inches deep, and you can make your own mold. So what I do is I take the Twinkie-shaped sort of tinfoil, and I sprinkle a little flour over it after I spray it, and I just set it aside. And I take the flour and the baking powder and the salt in a small bowl with a whisk and set that aside, but just blend it together. Now, if I'm doing, at this point, if I'm doing it right, I'm heating about 5 tablespoons of butter in a saucepan with the water until the butter melts and the water just starts to boil, literally. And just remove it and set it aside. Okay, really important part of it. And then you just keep that going. And you're going to be really, really close to good to go. You're going to take the butter and, as I said, remove it from the heat, start it aside. Now, use your mixer on a high setting right now to beat the eggs for about 2 minutes. You want them really foamy. And then gradually add a little bit of that sugar I told you about for about 3 or 4 minutes. Now, at this point in time, you're going to fold in that flour mixture that I told you about. When I say fold, you know what folding is. You're going to put it in, use a spatula to kind of lift it up and turn it. You're not going to be stirring this or mixing it. We want it to be folded. Now, you divide the batter in about half, in half the first batch, because remember, we have to put the cream in it, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. And you pour the batter into the pan and add about 1/4 cup per little cake, okay? Now put the pan in the oven and bake until the cakes are golden, and you use a little toothpick, as you know, to insert it, and if it comes out gushy, and you know it still needs to go for a couple of minutes. Incredible. I love this part. And it should take about 15 minutes. I'm laughing because it makes you feel good. Turn the cakes over to cool on the wire rack. Carefully pop them out of tin foil. They should pop right out. And then wash the pan and recoat it with the nonstick. You have to do part two. And then you fill the pan with the rest of the batter and bake it. So basically you're making the filling, you're beating 6 tablespoons of the softened butter in a medium bowl until it's fluffy. Add a little teeny bit of powdered sugar, and then add a little bit of milk. And until you beat it, it's going to be white and fluffy. You're going to have Twinkie cream, but it's going to be healthy. Using a lower fat milk, using maybe an organic butter, and a minimal amount of sugar. Now, you need a pastry bag. If you don't have one, there's a couple of different ways to do it. If you have a pastry bag, you're set. If you don't and have a piece of parchment paper, you can make a funnel, put your stuff in there, and just take on the bias, on an angle, scissor, and cut the end of the pastry bag, and you'll make a one-time-use pastry bag, and it works great if you don't actually have one. Okay? So basically, you're going to make your filling and fill the pastry bag in it, and then you're going to take these cakes. Now, this is really interesting. The cakes are actually so hollow, you can't really tell. You're going to take the tip of that pastry bag and put it on the bottom of the cake in 3 different places. Remember, if you look at Twinkie, there's like 3 little things, 3 little places that the cream goes in. So you turn your Twinkie upside down and just stick your little tip of your pastry bag in one side, then in the center, and then on the end, and you have your little Twinkie. That's it. This is a fresh, homemade Twinkie. I promise you, you're going to love it. Now, if you want to blow the whole thing and turn it back into total junk, you can do this. You can take a little bit of cooking oil, and you can deep fry your Twinkie until it's a little golden on each side. Just kidding. That's this is a big thing at some of the state fairs these days. People are actually doing fried Twinkies. All right, you got that fried Twinkie idea. You got the concept of the soda. All right, so these are two junk food items. Yeah, all right. When you think of junk food, what is one of the most amazing things that you can think of quickly? A burger, drive-through burger. All right, very simple. Get a hot dog. A lot of kids aren't eating hot dogs. Hot dog is not the real big seller for the most part anymore. It used to be a big deal. And a lot of kids will go for a burger first. And, in fact, most places don't even sell hot dogs anymore. Occasionally you'll find a drive-through or drive-in for that. But in any event, now I have an incredible recipe for a homemade hot dog that I'm not going to get into right now because we only have about 9 minutes left. But I want you to write some things down right now, and this is important. Please write me at Chef Stuarto, C-H-E-F as in Frank, S as in Sam, T-U-A-R-T-O, at hotmail.com. And I will send you, for fun, 5 incredible junk food recipes at absolutely no charge, totally for free. All you got to do is write me, and I will make this into a party. And you can basically have an unk food party with your family and produce your favorite junk food treats together. For instance, French fries. These days, it's the potato season. You get some of the most beautiful fresh potatoes. The average cooking place will have a potato cutter. It looks like a little jagged piece of metal that gives you sort of those crinkly-looking French fries. I find them all the time in used stores. Remember our show on just going to get kitchen items and stuff from you know, secondhand stores. This is an item I see almost every time I look. And I pick one up almost every time. I must have a whole drawer full. Now, I can't send you one, but I can tell you where, you know, how to go and get one, and I just did. So you're going to take your potatoes. You're going to peel them really well. And you're going to use this little crinkle cutter to make what looks like exactly like the kind of French fries most cases you're going to get in some little fast food places. Now, of course, the McDonald's French fry, for instance, is more of a Julien fry. Some of the other chains are using, they're actually doing skin-on cuts. But a healthy French fry is a really simple endeavor. What I like to do is once you make the cuts of the French fries and make them look exactly like your junky fries, you put them in some cold water and let them sit in the fridge for a couple hours and soak up the water. Then I want you to go ahead and just get the cleanest oil you can get, a very low-fat canola, and go ahead and fry your French fries up. Now, drain them really good. Now, remember, stand back. You put these water-soaked potatoes into the oil because it's going to splatter. But you can make a homemade French fry. Most people don't make them anymore. You go to the frozen food section. There's 70 different choices of different kinds of French fries that you can buy frozen. But remember, folks, every single one of those has got some sort of a preservative in it. Every single one of those has, in some cases, even MSG that are going to get your kids wired, that are going to give you a headache. So I suggest French fries, junk food, perfect. Make your own. Now, here's the deal. If you've got these potatoes already cut, and if you actually are lucky enough to have a little safe little, you know, portable deep fryer, this is something that even the kids, make sure they're at least 10 years old or older, show them how to do it. They can make those when they come home from school. French fries. I used to get those all the time when I was growing up. My mom would make some French fries, and we'd come home basically, and after school, and I have homemade French fries ready to go. Loved them. And, you know, once your kids start eating those, they're going to want them all the time. Now, of course, you can use sweet potatoes to make these fries, different kinds of potatoes. So a homemade French fry is a good item. All right, we got a homemade soda with pineapple, blueberries, and strawberries, and soda water. We got a homemade French fry now, and we even have a homemade Twinkie. There's a lot more in the young food world that I want to share with you, and I will, possibly in another show. Now, you also can write me about the Young Food Cookbook, which you can absolutely purchase. And if you send me an email about that, I'll let you know where and when and how to absolutely go about getting that. Thank you. Make sure, I wanted to tell my listeners that on Blog Talk Radio I have an incredible archive. There's over 20 shows now, maybe more. If you missed any of these shows, I think I started Foodomania in the beginning of April, and it's just gone gangbusters, and it's growing all the time. In fact, Foodomania is going to go to the major airwaves at some point in the near future. It's already on 1020radio.net. It's already branched out on KSVR and KSVU. In Washington State. So we're really excited about it. We're tying it into Kitchen Cuisine, which is my long-running radio show. We're celebrating our fourth year pretty soon. And And that's available in your local area too, which you can sort of do a search and hopefully find a listing. It's certainly available at PRI. You can get on the PRI site if you happen to be a radio person or a programmer. You can find it there. All right, I'm having a really good time. I wish I could keep going here. I wanted to tell you a couple of different things that are coming up. And, you know, we're getting into fall is happening. And last week we had our fall food show, and that was really fun. And thank you for the great feedback on that. We're going to continue the process. One of the really cool things in holidays, that all of the holidays that are coming up, is Halloween. And that's about a little over a month away. But next week is going to be the Halloween cooking show. And next week we're going to talk about Halloween treats and candies and things that you can make to possibly give some people some things that are really a little bit more delicious. Now, in the old days, it wasn't a big deal to get certain things when you went trick-or-treating, but these days you have to be really careful, and you have to make sure things are packaged. So we can't give people pieces of fruit anymore or candy that is unwrapped. But I am going to teach you about a couple of things that you can do that would be some really good, safe holiday snacks. And we'll talk a little bit about that. We're also going to talk about what you can serve some of your friends and guests around the Halloween holiday to make it a little bit more special, considering a pumpkin soup, a pumpkin tart, how to use pumpkins in a couple of different ways. We're going to cover all that stuff next week. Well, I want to thank everybody for listening. Remember, you can write me at Chef Stuarto, C-H-E-F as in Frank, S as in Sam, T-U-A-R-T-O at hotmail.com anytime and ask me any questions. Remember, here's the scenario of healthy junk food. Everything that I said earlier is true. What makes junk food junk is certain components in it, and all you have to do is read the labels. And, you know, folks, take your time to read labels, and you'll see the difference in some of your purchases, and you'll also see the difference in the quality of what you're going to be eating. And also, more important than anything like that, how you feel after. And that's the thing that's really important. You know, you keep experimenting, and that's the key of all this stuff. You know, these days they're trying to make junk food healthier as possible. The soda companies are working their way to try to make certain items like soda lines a little bit more healthy. Some of them even provide the daily values of, you know, B6 and B12 and certain vitamins and things. All I could tell you is just don't be fooled by the possibility that you think you're eating something healthy that, you know, might be under that umbrella, but in the long run, it's really not the best thing that you can actually have. So make some choices. If you teach your kids about this early and give them more choices of things that maybe, you know, normally we don't do for kids. You know, the old days, you could put a video on, that was your babysitter. Same thing goes with food. You're just going to get stuff fast. You're going to go to a big box store and get some prepackaged things that all I have to do is put in the microwave. Folks, I throw my microwaves out of my house. I've told people to do that as well. I used to kind of laugh about it when people were so purist about it, but then I realized it's not just the microwave part of it. It's what you put in it. And when you go shopping, you're going to end up buying stuff that's just microwavable because it's a time saver for either yourself or your kids. And you got to stop it. You know, you got to stop doing that. We have to go back to the old ways. We have to go back to where you take the time to really consider what the diet your children and what you are going to eat. You know, when they say we are what we eat, we absolutely are. And you know that when you're eating good stuff, you feel better. When you're eating crummy stuff, you don't feel so good. So I encourage you, junk food could be celebrated in an unk food way, and I want you to really consider taking the time to spend every week looking at the things that your kids eat, and don't make them sad by denying them chicken nuggets or stuff like that, but you can also make your own. And I'm sorry we didn't have enough time to get into that, but there's some really wonderful recipes for chicken nuggets. All you have to do is get online, and you can see some really great chefs who have taken the time to make this easier for the kids. All right. All my best to all of you. I hope you have a great week. Please tune in and back in next week. I'll be here. Thank you for all your support. This is Stuarto saying have a good day. Anytime at all.